This evening, we will be beginning a new series on our Sunday nights, songs that teach and songs that preach. And this song, one that we have just sung, Ancient Words, is one that I have just heard within the last 3 or 4 years. And so it's a rather new song for me. It may be one that may be brand new to you, or maybe one that you've been singing for a while. But it is one that we were going to talk about this evening. But before I do, I just want you to know something that you already know. And that's just how special and how amazing and how just great your youth are. Having the opportunity to just spend time with them and spend weekends with them, to see them read and to see them study, to see them challenge each other, to see them, you know, talk to one another and have fun. It's just a blessing. It's a huge blessing. And they are growing a lot. And that's a great compliment to you, to who you are and how you help them grow. Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us cope. In this world, where'er we roam, ancient words will guide us home. That kind of sounds like a poem, doesn't it? It kind of sounds like really good advice. It kind of sounds like one of those great speeches that just seem to empower and motivate and sort of change the course and the direction of everyone who hears it. And if you think about some of those great speeches that our country has heard, or maybe that the world has heard, maybe you're thinking about some of them right now. Maybe you're thinking about John F. Kennedy and his speech of the guarantee of putting a man on the moon. Maybe you're thinking of that famous sports speech of Lou Gehrig when he said goodbye to baseball from the disease that he had had. Maybe you're thinking about a preacher and his speech, the one that he gave on the Washington in Washington D.C. Maybe you're thinking about Martin Luther King Jr. and his "I Have a Dream" speech. Maybe you're thinking about Lincoln and his Gettysburg Address, and how each of these instances seem to do more than just be a great speech, but that how they seem to, at some point or another, affect and change those around them. They altered future events. And this is where we must take to heart, and we must recognize something about ancient words. And the first of that is that we must take to heart the significance of the spoken word. It comes from those famous speeches. Maybe some of those are motivational. Maybe you're thinking about when you were in junior high school or high school or maybe college, those motivational speeches that you got from a coach or a teacher. Or maybe it was in a time much more, in a time of war. And it was a motivational speech of you were banding together. It was a battle cry. Maybe you're thinking of those family sayings, the way those family teachings, how they went about changing your mind, changing your heart, transforming us, motivating us. There's something significant about the spoken word and how it means so much. Those spoken words, if they're from family, if it's that blessing, it's to show us that they are giving their acceptance, their love, their empowerment. We sort of relate that when we think of Scripture, we think about how powerful this spoken word can be. And in talking about blessing, we can't help but think of that voice from heaven in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 through 22, where the Lord blesses Jesus after he was baptized. And he says, "Look, my Son in whom I am well pleased. He gives him that blessing, that spoken word. Just how significant was that? Just how much power the spoken word has to build up, to bless, to use for great good, to encourage. But it's also used by some to tear down, to destroy. And isn't that something that this spoken word, so powerful, can unite, but can yet be so harmful to pierce our heart? The significance of this spoken word. In Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, Paul says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." This spoken word, those who preach and those who teach, bringing this word. And I'm not talking about me, because I just happen to be the one who's in front of you tonight. But there are many, 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 many individuals who have preached and taught before you. You personally. And how they have shared God's word with you. The significance of this spoken word, of this spoken message. Revealing the truths of God. Those who maybe not who preached, but maybe they taught us. Maybe they taught us in Sunday school. Maybe they taught us around their kitchen table at home. You know who they are. You remember those conversations. Because they fed you, and they cared for you, and they loved you. And they knew the worst parts about you. And they did it anyway. And that's what's so significant about this spoken word. About those individuals who preached, and about those individuals who teach. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says to Timothy, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction." He gives him this charge to go ahead and be that individual who teaches and encourages and builds others up and shares the gospel with them. And we can't help but then think about specifically not just those individuals who we've heard preach and those individuals who've helped to teach us, but maybe specifically about that individual who shared the gospel with you, who explained it in such a way that you understood it, sort of that light bulb moment that you had where it just kind of all made sense. And it made so much sense that you then responded to hearing the gospel. You have those individuals in your life, or that specific individual, and I do as well. But that's the power and that's the significance of the spoken word. But do you realize that it's even more powerful than that? This word that Jesus spoke, did it heal the blind? Did it heal the lame? Did it call a dead man out of his tomb? It did, didn't it? But it's even more powerful than that. This spoken word of God, do you know how powerful it is? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. And God said, and He speaks it into existence. He speaks this world into existence. He says, "Let there be light," and there was light. And He separates the light from the darkness. And it just goes on and on and on about how He spoke and things were created. That's how powerful, that's how significant God's word is. And we must take to heart the significance of this spoken word. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world, They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength and help us cope. In this world, where'er we roam, ancient words will guide us home. We must learn and study this written word. Not only is God's word something that was spoke and that we hear today, but it is something that's written. We are blessed with something that many people don't have. Centuries ago, in the time of Christ, and after, they didn't have the resource that we have today. We have God's Word before us, and it's so easy to get, and get in a way that's understandable. And there's so many helps that if we don't understand something, there's so many individuals who have access to this to teach us and encourage us. But this has been preserved. Those many years, ancient words, now in a way that you and me, that your children can pick up and read and understand for themselves. I think we forget. We don't really realize that it didn't really used to be that way. There was a time when only the elect, only the few, had access to God's Word. Everything else was just audible, what you could hear. What you could hear someone tell you or hear someone teach you, that was what you got. And we have so much more than that. And that is why we must study and learn the written word. It's long been preserved. Just a couple verses back in 2 Timothy 3, in verse 16, Paul tells Timothy, "All Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Not only is this Scripture used to help prepare us for the work that God has for us, but this is God-breathed. As the same that spoke into existence, that separated the light from the darkness, that created. This is the same word that we have access to. That's the same power that we can then tap into. This is something that helps connect us in such a great way. Flip over to 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1. And John is talking specifically about this word. He's talking about the word of life. And he says, "That which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we will proclaim concerning the word of life." But he's not talking about the written word. He's talking about the word of life. He's talking about Christ. He's talking about Jesus. Seeing Him, hearing Him, touching Him. "The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, as we write this to make our joy complete." And when he gets to that key word, "We may have fellowship with us, that you may have fellowship with us." This is that part about God's Word that connects us. This is that piece that connects us. God's Word can connect us, one with another, but it also connects us with God's own heart. And this is what impacts us. And this is one of the things that begins to slowly make changes within us, is having God's written Word. Then as we learn it and as we study it, it begins to make changes within us. As it connects us with another and connects us with God. Thirdly, we must reflect the living Word. So we must take heart the significance of the spoken Word, and we must study and learn the written Word, but we must reflect the living Word. Turn with me back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light, the light that shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And then verse 14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. The Word was alive in Jesus. The Word became flesh. God's Word became alive in Him. Hebrews 4, verse 12 makes this strong connection with us. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is living and active. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is alive in you. It goes on to say, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates, even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It's working in each of us to judge those thoughts, to judge those attitudes that lie within your heart, to make those corrections. In Hebrews 10, a couple chapters over, in Hebrews 10, verse 16, we must reflect this living Word, and this is something that the Hebrew writer then refers to here. He says, the Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts. I will write them on their minds. This living Word that we're supposed to reflect is not just alive in Jesus. It's not just who Jesus is, but it's alive in us. It's written in us. It should be written in our hearts and in our minds. And this doesn't become any more evident than what Paul tells the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And how we reflect this living Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And Paul says, and we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We are to reflect this living Word. We are to reflect the Lord's glory, His likeness, His living Word. This all happens through taking this, whether this the spoken Word that we hear through a devotional, through a Bible class teacher, through a friend, through a preacher, through a minister, through a mom or a dad or brother or a sister, through anyone that we come in contact with that displays some of these spiritual words, these words of God. Or it's from our own study of the written Word, of reading it, of meditating on it, of putting it into our mind and our heart such a way that we memorize it. And then that becomes within us something that transforms us. It changes us. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. God's Word brings us life. It brings us hope. It brings us strength. It gives us the peace that we need. It gives us the ability to overcome loss and to mourn. It helps us just overcome the trials and the tests that we have. God's Word brings us His truth. God's Word brings us the message of Christ and the glory that we have from being with Him, from being like Him, from being a follower of Him. This is what these holy words, these ancient words, this is what they impart. And so when people encourage us to read our Bible through the whole year, or to have a daily Bible reading, or to memorize a verse, or to mark or underline a verse, why those things are so important? Because they're changing us into who God wants and needs us to be for Him. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Let the ancient words impart. And if you this evening would like these ancient words to have more meaning in your life, and you need to make a commitment that's greater to that, or if you need the prayers of this congregation to help get you back on the right track, or if you just have any need that you would like the prayers for us of this congregation, then you have the opportunity to come now and respond while we stand and while we sing.